One of the things that Mark likes to talk about, and what I like to talk about as well, is the Multicultural Leadership Program, and its executive director, Linda Bolivar, is in the house. Linda, hi. Good afternoon to you.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
I am so glad that you're here. It's always a pleasure because I love the work that you guys do, and we have to remind people exactly what that work is because they hear Multicultural Leadership Program. That's kind of, it's like Charlie Brown's teacher, you know, wah, wah, you know, it's, what is that exactly, even though you're a regular guest?
I know. And especially since we often call it MCLP, so then yes, people forget. But MCLP is the Multicultural Leadership Program. We are a small local nonprofit, and what we do is an 8-month leadership development program. So every year we take a group of around 25 people. They have class twice a month, July through March of each year, and then we have a big graduation celebration in April. And there are really 5 key features to our program. Number one, to know your true self, to understand who you are, your strengths, your values. The next one, to appreciate diverse perspectives and decision-making styles. And we purposefully put them with people very different from them. We have a diverse class, and we want, that's real life, and you make the best decisions when you're with people different from you. So that's a big feature. The next one is to be servant leaders, to serve and lead with courage. And I have people ask me, what is a servant leadership? I'm not sure I want to be a servant. Servant leadership is actually a term coined by Robert Greenleaf. And the way I put it in a nutshell is it's serving for the greater good. So you're not, or leading for the greater good. So you're not leading to become the top dog and the richest person in the world, but you're leading to make the world a better place. The fourth one is to develop leadership skills, and we have classes on all sorts of those. And then the fifth one is to build a strong network of community leaders.
By the way, servant leadership is the true leadership.
That's right. That's right. And I have some people say to me, oh, that sounds religious, or I don't know that I want to be a servant. But really, I think most people that I know who are out leading in the community, they're really doing it out of a place of service.
And there are religious examples, but there are many secular examples as well.
Exactly,
so
yes.
It's the concept that's really is what leadership is. Well, that's cool. And, you know, you're improving leadership skills, but who are the people that are in your programs? Because I'm guessing that's where the M comes in.
Oh, yes, multicultural, yes. We recruit as diversely as we can. So anybody who has a group that might want to learn about us, we are happy to go there. And we end up in every class with people from all different segments of the work sector. So we have for-profit, nonprofit, education, small business owners. We always end up with people from a variety of countries, from different native languages. We always have people ranging from their 20s to 60s. I know we've always had people in their 50s, probably people in their 60s too. Mm-hmm. So there's a wide range of religions, pretty much differing abilities. We really try to bring together. The biggest thing is we recruit anywhere. We do that in the spring. And then when we go to select our class with interviews and an application process, we're really looking for people who have a passion to make a difference.
Okay.
And if those people are already in some leadership role, it usually makes the program more meaningful. We do have people go through it sometimes who aren't currently in a leadership role. And then sometimes it becomes a little more academic because you don't have a place to put things into practice.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a great group this year. It includes we have somebody from the city of Bloomington. We have professors from ISU, a variety of people from State Farm and Country, some nonprofit folks, a non-traditional student. It's just a wide variety of people.
Sounds good, because that has always been the one part that, even though I've been very familiar with what you've done,
right,
sometimes the mechanics of putting it all together, I'm not that familiar with. In other words, how do you get connected with the people that end up in your program? It sounds like there are people that really want to be, well, obviously, they
yeah,
want to be in your program, they'd
we
better,
like to think that,
but I
yes,
mean, you don't have to go out and, I guess, beat the bushes. You have people that want to be involved in what you're doing.
We do have people who want to be involved, but we always want to get the word out to other people. So there are a lot of major employers that we know every year are probably going to send people through. Mm-hmm. Advocate usually has people, State Farm, Country. We've often had people from AFNI. But there are always people that don't know about us. So that's where, you know, we've gone out and talked to all sorts of groups, whether it be a religious organization. We've done things like the NAACP. We've done, you name the group, if they have people 21 or older who live or work in McLean County, we're happy to tell them about what we do. Because not only do we have opportunities for people to go through the class, we also have opportunities to serve our local nonprofits.
Aha, and there comes the project presentations and the like. Again, we're with Linda Bolivar. She's the Executive Director of the Multicultural Leadership Program, and they're in the midterm form right now, kind of halfway through what they do, and they have a bunch of projects. And let's see, how many, five did
there
I
are
see
five.
On there?
There are five, yes.
So let's get the thumbnail sketch. What has been developed as the project?
Absolutely. Well, we put out a request for proposals every year, and we pick five projects for local nonprofits, and then we assign people to five diverse teams. So the nonprofit projects we have this year, alphabetically, because that's the way I am, the first one is the Bloomington Public Library, and that team is working to spread awareness of all the services available through the library, the online services, the mobile services, and looking at getting more active card users, particularly in underserved areas of the community. Mm-hmm. They've been very active with that. The next one is with Heartland Head Start, which you may be aware serves children and families with comprehensive child and family development programs. They are working to create an efficient, functioning volunteer scheduling system. Heartland Head Start relies on volunteers not only to get the work done, but their federal funding requires them to match a percentage of the funding with volunteer hours. So to make that happen, this group is really helping them to strengthen their volunteer recruitment, scheduling, all that to retain volunteers and make them effective to really strengthen that program. The next one is the Illinois Heart and Lung Foundation. I think all the projects are exciting, but this one is The next one is what they call an attack asthma camp. So for children 12 and under, and I think it's actually 8 to 12, they are helping develop a day camp where the kids will go and learn how to manage their own asthma. Asthma can be life-threatening if it's not treated,
sure.
And it can really hamper kids' lives if their asthma is not under control. So this is a camp for kids 8 to 12 to help them learn to manage their own asthma. So that's a great project. The fourth one, the University of Illinois Extension, they have a refuge food forest, which is in the town of Normal. It's a partnership between the U of I and the town of Normal.
Right.
And it's one of the best kept secrets. So there is fresh food that's just growing there, and it's there for the picking. So they are helping develop ways to get the word out and to help people once they get there to know what to do. So maybe some activities there that help people know how to get around and figure out, what do I pick? What do I do with it after I pick it? And then last but not least, we have the Western Avenue Community Center, which is an organization on the west side. And they are helping them. One of their fundraisers is the Cinco de Mayo event, which I'm going to guess happens in May.
Yeah, could be.
I'm thinking. And because, like most nonprofits, Western Avenue Community Center needs fundraising, they are working to make that a more effective fundraiser. So looking at what's been done in the past, what worked well, where areas they can strengthen the fundraising, looking at what programs in other communities are doing, and they're going to make that the best event possible to really help support the work that Western Avenue Community Center is doing. And they do things like provide translators when people need services. They have senior programs. They just do a wide variety of things.
This is interesting. How did the projects get developed? These are the people that are in the program develop these projects?
Well, here's how it works. In the spring, starting in probably February, we put out a request for proposals, mm-hmm. and we try to spread the word all across the county. So any nonprofit based in McLean County can apply to have a project. And so we let them know it's going to run September through March. You'll have about five people on your project team. And so people give us a wide variety of projects. We've done all sorts of projects. And then we have a team of individuals. It's June when we look at those applications. And we go through and we pick five. And we try to find ones that can be not easily done, but manageable in that time frame, mm-hmm. that they're going to make an impact on our community. We want to have some variety, so we wouldn't want to have five projects that are all in the same field.
Sure.
And then certainly when there are projects that align with some of our goals as an organization, that's always fabulous too. So any nonprofit can apply. We pick five projects, and then we assign them. They don't get to pick their project. We assign them purposefully to something that they are not familiar with.
Okay.
So, for example, if I was a nurse and I went through the program and we were doing a service for a health clinic, I wouldn't be assigned to that one. Somebody else would be.
Yeah, nurses aren't going to go to the attack asthma.
Exactly. Exactly. So we get people out of their comfort zone. Okay. And then not only that, we're kind of tricky. We have started out the program by doing a bunch of assessments. Based on those assessments, we put them in the most diverse groups possible. Okay. So not just age, ethnicity, employment, but also your Myers-Briggs, your StrengthFinder. And we put you with a bunch of people who are different from you, give you a challenge that you're unfamiliar with, and then that's the perfect incubator to put into practice these leadership skills that we are teaching in the classes July through March.
This is interesting stuff.
It is.
It always has been. I just love these, the idea and the concept of this. Do you know where the concept came from of doing this?
I do. I'm so glad that you asked that. We have just some wonderful, wonderful founders. So Pani Item, who is a local gentleman who works at State Farm, he got this idea more than 10 years ago to develop a leadership program that develops leaders from the inside out. So really understanding yourself better and then learning to serve. So he and a team of people spend about 3 years developing the curriculum, building support. Two of the key people I think that got it started, Willie Brown and Deanna Frauci. I'm going to guess a lot of your listeners know both those names.
Probably so.
Yes, I think once he got Deanna and Willie on board, the funding got in place, we get support from corporate, from government, all of that. So developing this with a broad base of support. And the first class started in 2009, so they were the class of 2010. This is our ninth class.
That's great.
Yes, and then I have to give a shout out. I mentioned our first founder, Pani. Sonia Mao was our first executive director, and she worked countless hours. Anybody who knows Sonia, I don't think she sleeps much. She worked countless hours as the first executive director and worked there for 5 years until I came on, and she spent a year training me. And in fact, I was just on the phone with her this morning. I think she'll be our supporter forever. So,
oh, that's awesome to have that resource,
yes,
though.
Absolutely.
Even for you as a leader of leaders, you need that kind of resource.
I do.
That's awesome.
And in fact, can I tell you what Sonia and I were talking about this morning?
If you wish, yes. I don't want you to tell any trade secrets,
okay.
But go ahead. Yeah.
That's good. Well, I'm sure some of your listeners noticed that yesterday was an online day of giving.
Absolutely.
Or nonprofit day of giving. Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes we go against the flow a little bit. So we're having our own day of giving next Tuesday, December 5th. And that's partly because our midterm presentations this Saturday, that builds a lot of excitement. So next week, Tuesday, December 5th, this is going to be our first ever online day of giving, and we're calling it Pass It Forward. And we are getting matching gifts from our board and our advisory council. Right now, we're close to $10,000 in matching gifts.
Wow.
So that next Tuesday, throughout the day, we're going to have different challenges. And depending on how much people give, we'll get matching gifts. So I'm really hoping that it'll be successful because as a small nonprofit, we keep tuition very low. It's $1,500. If you were to go and, price out this training somewhere else, it would be many, many times that. So
sure,
part of our model, not only our tuition, our corporate sponsors, but private donors. So, of course, this morning I was on the phone with Sonia getting some advice on that. But we are going to be having some exciting things happening next Tuesday. So if anybody wants to check out our website at bn-mclp.org, and then our Facebook, you can look us up at Multicultural Leadership Program, and Twitter. I'm not good with Twitter, but I'm going to be doing my best next Tuesday. It's Multicultural LP,
you'll find it.
You will find it, yes. Yeah. Search for Multicultural Leadership Program. So that's an exciting way that people can get involved and support this program that I think is doing some amazing things.
It really is. I remember covering it as a news story a few years ago myself and just kind of blown away, really, by what it is and what you do. Now, these midterm project presentations coming up on Saturday, is this something that's a public event? What are you trying to do?
I am so glad you asked that because I got so carried away with being excited about the projects. This Saturday morning, it's open to the public. We hope as many people as possible come. It will be at Country Financial in their IAA building at 1701 North Tawanda Avenue in Bloomington. The presentations will start at 8:30. Each presentation will be about 10 minutes with 5 minutes of questions and answers. We should wrap up around 10:15 in the morning. Then we will have a half hour reception where people can visit with the people who, you know, with the class members, with the nonprofit people. We'll have an information table. And by 10:45, people can go on and enjoy their afternoon. So that's this Saturday. Okay. If you want more information, go to our website or our Facebook page. Again, bn-mclp.org. It's open to the public. It's free. And it's just a great way to find out what's happening.
Well, you can find out what's happening not only with the MCLP, but also how these other organizations that you may also patronize or
Absolutely.
Benefit from, you'll find out exactly how they're maybe going to benefit.
That's exactly right.
Cool. This is neat stuff, Linda. I really love what the work that you guys do, and just keep it going. And again, remember, this coming Tuesday,
right.
the 5th, the Pass It Forward online fundraising event.
All right. Thank you.
One last thing. Before you guys, you got the midterm project, so that means they're going to be busy in the second half of all this.
Yes. Thing. So what's going to happen? One big thing for the public, a couple more big things for the public. The first Saturday in February, we have a board networking fair. Mm-hmm. So any nonprofit in the area who's interested in recruiting these great leaders, they can sign up and be part of that. The first Saturday in March, we have our final project presentations to find out what they've done in the last couple of months in their project. And then in April, we have our graduation. April 28th, I believe, is the Saturday. And we just got confirmation of an exciting speaker, which I'll have to tell you about next time.
Okay. Always leave them wanting more. Linda Bolivar of the Multicultural Leadership Program, their executive director. Great job. Let's hope we get a lot of folks out there to see what you guys have been up to on Saturday with this midterm project presentation and reception. Thanks again for the time. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.